I want to thank everybody for joining the call. This is Darryl Davis. I know we have some people all over the world, and I want to welcome those of you I see are from Alaska. I know you, it's real early in the morning there. So thanks for calling in. All right. So, gang, I just want to remind you the purpose of this call is to go over with you some things about the magazine. That's number one. The second thing is to answer any coaching questions that you might have. And third, is to give you some focus as to what you should be doing the next 30 days. So, you know, this is going to be a great call because there's a lot of great things in the magazine. I want to go over a few things with you, though, first. So we're recording this call. So after the conference call, what we're going to do is post this on the Power Program website. You can listen to it later. Also, the magazine, when I talk about the magazine, that's on the Power Program website. You can only get to it after you've logged in with your username and password. If for some reason you lost it, you can't find it, whatever, just contact us after the conference call. We'll be happy to send that to you. April, you'll let me know when you logged in, right? Okay. Do me a favor, April. On your phone, gang, we're going to just try something here. Can you hit 4 and then the star key so I can see if it unmutes you? So 4 and the star key. That's for April, gang. Just give me a second while we test this. Tell me what you've done in April.
I did it.
Okay, there you are. Okay, great. All right, I see you there. Okay, great. So say something again.
Hello, everyone.
Okay. All right, thanks, April. I'm going to mute you. All right, gang, so if you have any questions, that's what I wanted to test. You simply hit the number 4 on your keypad and then hit that little star button right after the 4. That will take you off mute, and then you can ask me questions because I want you to be able to do that. All right, let's do this. Let's start with, I want to get right into it, one of the coaching questions that was emailed to me ahead of time. Now, Rob Schwitz, are you on the call? If you are, Rob, I want you to hit star, I want you to hit 4, and then the star on your keypad, and just give it a second. There might be a delayed reaction. Are you there, Rob? Rob, are you there? So 4, and then hit star.
Can you hear me, Darryl?
Yes, I can hear you now, Rob. Thank you very much.
It was a little bit of a delay, yeah. Normally that 7 key does it faster.
Oh, okay. So that was a little delay there, yes?
Yeah. But we're good. I can hear you now.
Okay, good. All right. So Rob, you had a great question, so I want to lead with you. So tell everybody what your question is, and then I'll address it, all right?
Sure. So basically, we're in the fourth quarter, which in my mind means we're basically January, since closing cycles are 60 to 90 days from when you actually take the listing to closing. So my question was simply, what should we be doing or not doing at this point so we can start January 1st strong with either closings or pendings?
So that's such a great question. A little complicated, but let's go through it, okay? So obviously we make money work in two areas, which is, you know, it's not rocket science. It's working with buyers and working with sellers. And everybody knows that I believe that you should be focusing on building listing inventory all the time. As a matter of fact, if I were to say how much of your time should be showing property and how much of your time should be building your shoe store, getting listings, it would be 75-25. So 75% of your time and energy should be building listing inventory, 25% taking buyers out showing property. Now, Rob, the exception to that rule is now going into this last quarter. Going into this last quarter, it should be more of a 50-50 plan. And the reason why that is in my opinion, you know, is because any buyer that's going to come out during the holidays, depending where you are in the country, if it gets cold, the weather's nasty, those are serious people. And so I always found that when we focus more or equally focus with buyers in this last couple of months of the year, you can pop a lot of sales. So that's my first thought, okay? Second thought is I'm not saying to not list, like I said, 50-50. So there are some sales. I wouldn't maybe promote or look to get new listings unless they're actually advertising. So if you've got some FSBOs out there that are spending the money and the time during the holidays, during the cold weather, same is true that they may be serious. But they also may be frustrated, and some of them may think, you know what, they tried the market, they're going to take it off and come back on January. If you go, Rob, to the website, thepowerprogram.com site, mm-hmm. and you log in, and you go to Classroom, at the bottom, after you click on the word Classroom, there is a section that says Visuals for Sellers. And you're going to see two flyers. One says the 10 reasons to list during the holidays, and another one that says 11 reasons. So they're just two different flyers. And that is a great form, a great flyer, to either use as a mailing piece or to use it as a page in your listing book. So there's that. The next thing is, I think listings hitting the market. So that's when you're talking to a seller. But between you and me, Rob, is I believe the best time for us to get listings is right after the new year. And here's why I say that, because any listings that come out, every time a listing comes out, it's fresh, it's hot, it's special in that first 30-day period. And so if the activity slows down a little bit in the last 60 days of the year and you put a listing out at that time, it may not get the exposure that it might in January. So, again, if somebody's still trying to sell their house and you get the appointment, go in there, use that flyer. But I would definitely put maybe 80% of my energies January 2nd to build in my inventory. Okay, is this making sense so far?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in doing that, here's a couple of things. So here's some tasks now that we should be doing. So we take the buyer side and we take the seller side. The seller side, what we should do to get ready and get strong at is make sure you have a good listing conversation, visual representation, a book, whatever you bring to a listing appointment, make sure it's tight. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is make sure you're using Red X. Are you using Red X right now, Rob?
I am.
Okay, good. So are you using it on a regular basis, or are you still trying to figure it out?
I need to be more consistent. It's a great site. I just need to be more consistent with it, to be honest.
Okay, it's good to be honest. All right. So, you know, when it comes to prospecting, Rob, probably the best thing to do is create a time of the day, certain days of the week when you're gonna focus on that. So you got to make it like mm-hmm. it's an appointment, like it's a closing. You know, if you had a closing at Friday, right, you'd be there. So kind of do that. Now, on the buyer side, if we're going to start upping the number of buyers that we work with in this last 60-day period, you know, you want to make sure you're tight on that too. So here's a couple of things on that. Number one is you should have be clear about the shiny pennies. So are you working the shiny pennies? Do you understand the shiny penny list?
Yes, and that was a great idea I got from you a while back.
Okay, good. So if you haven't been doing that, make sure you do that. You know, my broker who taught me that concept, his name's Matt. What Mac used to do, like religion, like if some people, you know how some people go to the gym like religion, they go to the gym like at certain days of the week or certain times every day. My broker was like that when it came to the new listings that hit the market. He would go into the office bright and early, and he would do a daily update of all the new listings that came out that day. And he did it first thing in the morning. This was his first task that he did. And as he looked at these listings that came out from other brokerages, if he saw something that looked like a shiny penny, now he was a broker. He didn't list and sell anymore, but he was a pain in the butt because now when the agents started coming into the office that day, he started telling mm-hmm. them, listen, so-and-so, this house just came out this morning. This looks like a shiny penny. Go check it out. Call your buyers. And every day he was committed to finding that needle in the haystack, that shiny penny for the day. Now, there might be a day where there was none, but there might be a day where two or three shiny pennies came out.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're getting clear of the shiny pennies in your market, and if it helps you, have a separate list of those shiny pennies. Number two is have a strong listing conversation. not listing conversation, buyer conversation. So when buyers come into your office and you sit down with them, you want to have a planned listing appointment. I'm sorry, I keep saying listing. A buyer appointment when you sit down with them face-to-face. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Rob. Do you have any of my CDs?
I have all of them, the super-duper thing when you came here last August.
Okay, great. Now, did you get a chance of listening to how to play with buyers and make more sales?
Yeah, I've listened to all of them more than once.
Okay, good. So the buyer CD, to me, that's something if you need to listen to it again, listen to it again. But what you want to do is sit down with the buyers before you show them property. And in that CD there, it goes through the six-step buying process. And I tell you how to deliver that six-step buying program. We don't have time on this conference call for me to go over that. But the concept is when you sit down with them for the first time, you want to make sure you get them motivated to buy. So you can go through your credentials, the company's credentials, the buyer agency agreements. So you go through that with them. And then you want to, so I'm simplifying the six-step buying process, Rob. Then you want to go through with them the why is now a good time to buy? What's happening in the market? Now, there's some visuals also on the Power Program that has the Donald Trump quote and the Warren Buffett quote. That's under classroom, visuals for buyers. But in addition to that, you should do an update of your MLS. So what you would do, go to your MLS and look at what was the average sales price happening in September, right? So we're in October now. So what was the average sales price? You took all the houses that sold in your market. What was the average sales price? And then do the same thing for September of last year. And see if the property values have gone up. And do some kind of report, some kind of visual representation of that, along with how many current listings are there for sale right now or the month of, as of today. And same thing, what was the number of listings that were available last year? And what you can do is you can show a buyer when you sit down with them this information, showing them that, you know what, there's fewer properties for sale than there was last year. The property values are going up. I mean, we're still at that low part, but now's a good time to buy because property values keep going up and up. Also, you may want to look at interest rates. You know, if interest rates are higher last year, which I believe they were, and they're a little bit lower this year, you can say, you know, the good thing, even if property values have gone up and they're going to continue to go up, interest rates have come down a little bit. So that helps with your buying power. Now, the reason why you want to buy now is because as property values continue to go up, which they will, plus if interest rates decide to go up, which they probably will after the election, now you're paying more for a house and actually more mortgage payment, which means you either get a smaller house or it's going to cost you more. So now is really the great time to buy before the election. And which, by the way, that's something else, Rob, that I want to point out. That I just said by accident. Whenever I was talking to a buyer or seller, I would always find something to create a sense of urgency. So right now, the election is a good thing to use. There were times when I went on a listing appointment, we had this 16-page newspaper that my office used to advertise our listings. And that 16-page newspaper came out on Friday. And we had to have our copy in by Wednesday. So if I went on a listing appointment on Monday or Tuesday, I would say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Hunahan, when you look at the best time for a house to sell based on the number of buyers and the quality of the buyers, we really have, like, between now and the election, let's say. So that's, you know, we're October, November. So we're looking at about 5 weeks, 4 weeks. But it really isn't 4 weeks because buyers usually only come out in the weekends. Therefore, we really only have 4 weekends to really sell your house at the best possible price. Now, to get in this newspaper, today is Monday. I need to write copy. And I really would love for you to get the ball rolling with me now because if you want to wait till the end of the week and then you're going to call me, you're going to miss this newspaper publication, which means it won't get until the next one, which now you just lost one of those 4 weekends. That only gives us 3 weekends. Do you see what I did, Rob?
Yeah. So you actually still use a newspaper, and you're not, it's not like that.
I'm sorry. That's what I used to say when I was an agent.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. So
newsletter.
Right. So if you're doing something where you've got a website and the website gets updated on a weekly basis, and don't get hung up on that so much. The point that I'm trying to make here, Rob, which was above and beyond what you asked me, is that whenever you're trying to get somebody to act and here's how my one of my mentors, Floyd Wickman, here's how he said it.
Oh, man.
Fear of loss is a greater motivator than the opportunity to gain. If you want somebody to act, you tell them the benefits of them acting on this thing, whether it's buying or selling. But if you want somebody to act now, you want to show them what they're going to lose by not acting now. Now, I'll give you, for instance, I don't want to get political, but if you look at, because I study the politics and the debates for the past year. I mean, I watch them maybe too much. And what you'll notice is if you really watch every one of Donald Trump's rallies, there's a lot, I'd say 80% or more of what he talks about is fear-based. How horrible things are, how you have to, and it's a good approach when you want people to get motivated to act now. There's, from a political standpoint, there's more Republicans coming out than there are Democrats coming out. Because Democrats traditionally are not fear-based. So people don't act now because everything's okay or I'm happy. Whereas when you tell people, no, you should be afraid, be very afraid, then people step up and they take action. So it's a sales technique that, philosophy that does work. Okay. So, all right. Did I answer your question, Rob?
You did. Thank you.
All right. That was a long answer to a great question. Okay. All right, gang. So, I'm going to ask you to, Rob, do the same thing. Just hit 4. I think that's what the number I told you, right? Yeah, hit 4 and then the star. Do it once, and then it'll put you back on mute. Okay. Anybody else, do you have any questions you want to ask me to get some coaching right now? In order to do that, you're going to hit 4 and then the star on your keypad, and there's a delayed reaction. Just give it a chance. So who has a question you need some help with? Who's on the call? Who needs some help on something? I see some. Nope. Rob, you're still there, right? But did you try hitting that 4-star? I want to make sure it's working.
Yes, I hit it, and then I went back muted. So, yeah.
It did go back to mute? Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's a longer delay than you had before, but it does do it.
Got it. Okay, great. All right. So there's a delay that Rob's telling us. So if you have a question, hit 4 and star and just give it about, 10 seconds or so for it to work. All right. And while I'm waiting for somebody to do that, I'm going to continue. Okay, we're going to just continue then. All right. So great question, Rob. Thank you very much. Gang, I want to talk to you about the magazine real quick. So I want to remind you how you get the magazine is you log into the powerprogram.com website, and then after you've logged in, you'll be able to see the magazine. So this month, by the way, we've got a great person that we interviewed, one of my longstanding students, Marty Sorrentino. Marty and I go way, way back. He was actually in the very beginning of the original Power Program. Some of you may not know this. The original Power Program was a year-long program back in the 90s that I taught, and it was a live program. We did it face-to-face with a group of people once a month for 12 months, and Marty is one of the few agents that took that class with me. Anyway, he's a very successful agent. He has 2 locations where he works, in New York and in the Carolinas, and we interviewed him this month. He's on the website. You can listen to it. We transcribed the call, and the interview, so you can read it also. So anyway, highly recommend that you listen to that. And let's go to the other pages of the magazine. On page 23 of the magazine this month, there is this great letter that you can send out, and Rob, you probably appreciate this, that you would send to a buyer. So if a buyer calls in and you haven't met them yet, here's a letter that you can send them. I'm not going to read the whole letter because you have the magazine. But it says, hey, thank you so much for calling today. I really appreciate the chance to provide you information that will have tremendous value to you. As I promised, you'll find there's the free report enclosed for you, and feel free to listen to it or read it and et cetera. Hey, Marty, you're on the call. I just got your text. So hit star. Where are you? Did you unmute yourself, Marty? Hit 4 and then star, Marty. I just want to see. And somebody else, they're off. They hit 4. Who else is unmute? Yeah, go ahead, Marty.
All right, I got you, buddy. Loud and clear.
All right, cool. Is this your area code 727?
This is my phone in South Carolina, Charleston.
Okay. All right, good, good. I just want to make sure that how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, it's funny how I'm listening to the coaching and how I was actually out on Saturday with my son, because, you know, he's also a realtor down here in Charleston, and we were doing that old-fashioned real estate, man. We were going and knocking on doors and telling all the neighbors about the house he just sold on the block. I got to tell you, it just renewed my commitment that you got to get back to basics.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's so important. And listen, you always were great with door knocking. I mean, I've said that a million times, and you've got a great way about you. You know, you're a decent looking guy.
Well, I had to step back off the step a little bit because I don't want to really scare them with my face, you know, when I open the door.
Yeah, well, but you lack in looks, you make up personality, so.
Well, you know, I remember, Daryl, you told us 100 years ago when I took the course that you said, you know, you should go out and knock on the neighbors' doors, because when's the last time they actually met a real live realtor?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed that by me knocking, I was helping my son, by us knocking on the doors, these people had never seen a realtor before.
Well, and the other thing about, you know, knocking on doors, I mean, it depends on the style of the person. Like, so for me, that wasn't my thing. And I use you as an example, because for some people, they are more, they like getting face-to-face with people. They're more effective initially that way. I'm more effective initially on the phone. And so, you know, it's finding your style. Here's the thing. There's no right way to do real estate, you know. And, gang, listen, you know, there was I did this program once where I made a promise to the class to lose this weight, and I lost this weight. It was 20 pounds, and, of course, I gained 30 back. But it was 6 months, lost the 20. Actually, the bigger is a little bit more than 20 pounds. But anyway, I did a video. I said, you know, I'm going to tell you the secret to losing weight, what the best diet is. And the best diet to losing weight is the one that you're going to do. You know, there is Metafast, Isagenics, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing about real estate. There's no right way to do real estate unless, you know, the right way is the one that you can, that works for you, where you produce the results that you're successful at it. So, anyway, well, Marty, thanks for being on the call. I'm going to continue with the magazine. I just wanted to say hi to you, and I'm glad you're on the call. Thanks for the interview. It was a great interview. People are going to get a lot of value from it.
Well, and Daryl, as you know, anybody that's with your organization, just, you know, my phone number, I believe, is on that. So they can tell them, feel free to call me anytime from anywhere in the country. I don't care.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Marty. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, gang. You're welcome. So let me continue, gang, on the magazine. On page 26 in this month's magazine, you're going to find there's a great comparison. There's a flyer that this company on Long Island, what they did was to compare all of the tools that they offered and comparing it to another broker. Now, they didn't put a specific broker that they compared to, so it was two columns. One column is the other broker. The other column is them. Their column has all the check marks in it. They played it very conservatively, which is good, but I can tell you this is a great visual to use if you're competing against another brokerage. You want to find the things that you have in your company that the other broker doesn't have and do a comparison. It's a great flyer, it's a great mailing piece, and it's a great piece to use on a listing appointment. Another one that they had, which is on page 27, it says when why an ad on your home is just the tip of the iceberg. So if you look at the tip of the iceberg, it's above the ocean, below the ocean, you don't below the surface, you don't see the rest of the iceberg. So they have this great visual about an iceberg that shows that the ad is at the top of the surface. So you can see the tip of the iceberg above the ocean line there. But below that, there's all this other stuff, direct mail, past clients for sales, on community involvement, open house campaigns, blah, blah, blah. And it's a great visual to communicate to a homeowner that the reason why we're more successful selling a house than you might be as a FSBO is because what you're doing with the ad is only the tip of the iceberg. We have so much more that we provide that a homeowner doesn't have. And so I do want to say something about page 27. And those of you that don't have the pages or the magazine in front of you, just make notes and print it out later. Give me a second here while I read this thing because I think there's an important distinction. Let's see. It says our past clients. It says buyers and sellers who have been served by one of our sales associates. So they're saying that one of the things that we have that you don't have as a FSBO is our past clients. These are buyers and sellers who have been served by one of our sales associates. You know, not for nothing, but as good of an ad as this is, it's a great concept. I would have done this a little differently, that like some of these sentences that they explain. So, for example, instead of saying that we have past clients, buyers and sellers who've served one of our, who've been served by one of our salespeople, I would have written this: our past and current clients. And then they said sometimes the best sale of a home is from a current base of buyers that are working exclusively with our company. These are buyers that you'll never see as a for sale by owner. That's how I would have presented that one. They said here, strategy locate up. Our offices, we have a professionally trained, highly motivated sales team. Okay, that's great. So you've got offices with professionally trained, highly motivated sales team. I would have said, now this company, they had more than one office. I would have said our offices are strategically located throughout the marketplace to give the most exposure to our clients without saturating the market. So you want to be careful. You want to use your words very, very selectively, very carefully. You know, one of the good things to use when you're talking to a buyer or seller, whether it's face-to-face or whether it's in an ad, is use words like systems, checklist, formula, strategy. You know, these are things that instill in the person that, hey, we didn't just make this up. We've been doing this for a while. It works. When you use words like strategy, systems, it suggests that you're successful, that this works, and this is why we have this system. This is why we take this strategy. This is why we have this checklist. Anyway, that's page 27. I'm just giving you a whole lot of stuff here. I love page 28 because that visual shows to a seller that there's more to selling a house than just finding the buyer. And I'm going to highlight that again because that's such an important concept. Most homeowners, they think in selling a house is like selling a car, selling jewelry, selling furniture. You know, you take furniture, you want to sell it, you put it on Craigslist, you do a garage sale. Now, when people buy a piece of furniture or anything at a garage sale, what do? They pay cash, they have it in their pocket, and they walk away with it. They put it in their car. Help me out. Is selling a house like that? Of course not. Selling a house, first of all, most likely, most buyers do not have the cash in their pocket. That's number one. Number two, there's so much more involved when it comes to title searches, encroachments, certificates, COs, mortgage, lending, qualification, FICO score, years on the job. What happens if they don't have the paperwork? What happens if they change jobs just before they start looking to buy a house? So there is a whole behind the scenes of selling a house that I'm telling you again, Homeowners don't understand this. They really look at selling, and this is why they don't respect us, because they think selling a house is like doing a garage sale and selling, you know, a cabinet that's been in the basement for like 50 years, and they want to get it out of the house. So this visual on page 28 helps show that there's more to it. Also, there's the director's technique. A lot of you have heard me do the director's technique. I'm not going to do it again. So anyway, page 29, I got to tell you something. I think that this is something that really, if you haven't done it, this is one of those things you really should do. And that is a free market analysis over the phone. So if you look at page 29, it says over the phone free market analysis. I've talked about this in the past. It's been a while. But there are probably people that are curious to know what their house is worth, but they don't want to talk to an agent. They don't want an agent to come over and try and do a sales pitch. So they're reluctant to calling an agent. So what they'll do is they'll go online and they look at other FSBOs, other houses for sale. They'll go to Zillow. They'll go to Realtor.com. And so the homeowner that now becomes their own appraiser, which, by the way, that is probably awesome to do on a listing appointment, is to show a homeowner what's involved to become an appraiser for a bank. You know, when you think about it, the bank is invested. They're not even equal partners with most buyers. The reason why they're not equal partners is because they're probably loaning 70-80% of the property value. So they want to make sure they're making a good investment. And banks make investments. So what do they do to send an appraiser? What does it take to become an appraiser? And I know some of you on this call, you might even be certified appraiser. If you're not, I would do this. I would either talk to an appraiser, or better yet, I would Google how to become an appraiser in North Carolina or, you know, your state, and see what does it take to become a licensed appraiser in your state. I would print that out. I would bring that on a listing appointment. And I'd say, Mr. Masana, you know, in pricing a property, and I know as a for sale by owner, you did this yourself. You probably went online. You looked at certain things like Zillow. Let me show you what it really takes to do it professionally and do it the correct way. And show them the hours. Show them the education. And so there's a lot more to this process of real estate. Anyway, so going back to page 29, I interrupted myself. So free over-the-phone market analysis and how that works, Ken, is that you would tell a homeowner in an ad or in a flyer, hey, find out what the value of your home is over the phone. Just answer some questions and get an idea how much your property is worth. That's important to do at least once a year, just like you do a tune-up for your car, you do a medical checkup on yourself, and you do a financial checkup to make sure that you're on target with your retirement. You want to do the same thing on your house. You know, most houses are people's biggest investments that's going to impact their retirement. So what we do in my company is we do a free over-the-phone market analysis, just answer a few questions over the phone, and I can give you an idea how much your house is worth. This is a great way to have homeowners call you. If somebody's calling you, there's a chance they're thinking about selling. Now, when you do the over-the-phone market analysis, you tell them, you know, all right, great, let me do that with you now. Do you have time for me to answer some questions? They say yes. But tell me, what style house do you have? How many bedrooms? How many baths? Oh, that's wonderful. I hear a dog barking in the background. That's not mine. Hey, Marty, is that your dog?
No, that's mine. I don't know how I got on here. I was going to ask a question earlier, and I didn't get through, so I don't know why I'm still – sorry about that.
All right, do me a favor. Stay right where you are. I'm going to finish there, and I want you to ask me what you want to ask me, hon, okay? Because you still have your question?
Yes.
All right, good. Stay right there. Let me finish with this ad and then this idea, and then I'll come back to you. So what you would do, gang, is you would say to the homeowner, I'm going to ask some questions about the house, and then I'm going to go to the computer and pull up and do a market analysis for you. So when you're asking the homeowner about, so what kind of style do you have? How many bedrooms? How many? Oh, that's lovely. How long have you lived in the neighborhood? Oh, you have kids? Oh, you have a dog? Oh, I love dogs. What kind of dog do you have? So what you're doing in the call, gang, you're not just gathering information. You're building a relationship. Once you've built a relationship with that homeowner, and hopefully that's the focus of the conversation where it goes very well, where there's some trust. Then you say to the homeowner, all right, Mary, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to call you back tomorrow. I'm going to go to the computer. I'll do my market analysis, and then I'll give you, I'll call you back and let you know how much your house is worth. Mary says, great, Daryl. Thank you very much. Good. I call Mary back and I say, Mary, I checked it out. I got to tell you, there's a few things. Market is going good. Activity is good. As a matter of fact, we have buyers that are looking to buy in our company, another real estate company. The value in your property is fitting in the range between 500 and 560. Now, I know $60,000 is quite a spread. You could probably do a lot with $60,000. but for me to really determine if it's the high end or the low end, I need to actually come see your property. Before I called you, I checked my schedule, and actually I have to be in your neighborhood tonight. I could stop by. You can bring me through real quick. I can get an idea and give you a more accurate number. And in addition, I have some other information we give homeowners about the value of their homes and a report on how to sell your house for the highest possible price. Can I go over 670 better? So doing that, gang, you're teasing the homeowner with the range. If you've built good rapport, they'll be more apt to let you in and to meet you face-to-face. And so that's the page 29 in the magazine this month, free over-the-phone market analysis. Okay, so let me go to my agent with the barking dog. What's your name, hon?
This is Ty the Spy. Hi,
Agent. Well, I'm sorry, what's your first name?
This is Ty.
Ty, how you doing, Ty?
I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, I just took your course not too long ago in Tampa.
Oh, awesome. Okay, love Tampa. You guys are awesome. You're a great audience.
But we're good at math.
so go ahead, Ty, ask me your question.
Okay, here's kind of sort of complicated, maybe not. I had an open house, and I got a couple. It's a woman that has a house, a waterfront. And then a guy who has a regular property, you know, land, whatever, property. Anyway, so I met with them at her house and possibly to list it. She said she wasn't ready. However, he was ready to list his. So I listed his and I have it under contract. Okay.
Okay.
Now
okay.
They said I've been sending them the, the auto emails, the concierge emails or whatever. Well, they found one that they want to purchase contingent upon now me listing the waterfront home, but they said family's involved and now they want to, in other words, I talked them in, or maybe I said maybe they just want a referral fee because they're in Orlando, which is like 2 hours from here. I said they won't be able to market your property as well as I will, and plus I just sold, or it's not closed yet. But so was that the right thing for me to do, was say, yeah, have them just send me a referral letter and I'll give them a referral? Because on the buying end, that's not going to happen, just on the selling part of her house. I didn't know what to do, so I figured I'd lose it. So I said, why don't you just have them send me a referral?
Yeah, here's my opinion. Now, there's people that are going to disagree with this, Ty, and I'll actually help the people that disagree with me, what they would say. So I've heard some agents say, hey, listen, when you learn how to play chess, you take that chessboard and the chess pieces and you play it in Tampa, and then you take the chessboard and the chess pieces and you go to Orlando, it's still the same rules of the game. So some people would say, shoot, you should just list it. It doesn't matter because the rules of the game of real estate is the same. I disagree with that. I say that when we are a marketing agent, our job is to, there's a lot to do, that when you're not in that market, you're not an expert in that market, you're not as effective at servicing the seller. If you price it right and you put it on MLS, it's going to sell. But I think if that's all there was to it, then homeowners really don't need us. They might as well pay a flat fee brokerage to get on MLS, and that's it. So I do think there's things, and I think we all know this. Things come up where, let's say, whether it's maintaining the property, whether it's running over for a key, whether it's talking to an agent you've dealt with before. So I think it's in the best service of the seller that if they got a house to sell and it's not in the market that we're close to that we work, then we should give a referral fee to it. Now, Marty,
it's just the opposite. In other words, they're in my farm area. They're in my backyard. and I've already been in the house with the listing presentation. They now want someone else in their family says, I got a real estate license, let me list it, or let me have a cut of it, basically, out of my commission.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I totally misunderstand. So they've got a house in your market. They want to list it for sale, but it came from another agent, and they want a piece of the action. Is that right?
Well, what happened is, they were already going to list it when they decided to list it, right? I mean, but they didn't. Oh, I'm not going to pick that side. I'm sorry. Now they said family got involved, and this family member now wants to list it, but they felt bad because they've been working with me, and I just sold his house. But they said, you can still find us the house, you know, that when we merge. They're trying to, they're going to get married and have a, merge their family.
Yeah.
He has a house.
Yeah,
exactly. So that okay. Now they want, and I thought, well, instead of losing out on the listing altogether, I mean, they could just say, okay, I think that's where they were going. We're going to list it with our family member in Orlando, but you can still find us a house here, and you already sold, Dan's house, the guy's house.
I got you.
I thought to salvage the deal, I was going to just, I said, hey, instead of them listing us, so they can't possibly market it, like I can, I said, why don't you just ask them to be satisfied with a referral? And I will give them a referral fee. Was that the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do?
No, I think that was an okay thing to do. Did you get the listing?
Well, most likely I will now. They said they're going to call me and we're going to get together and do the paperwork. But they're going to find out about the referral. They said family was really wanting the listing.
Yeah, I think if you didn't do that, it sounds like you might have lost it. So you
that's what I felt. So
No, I think you did the right thing, Tony. You did the right. Yeah, you did the right thing.
Oh, that's good to know. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. I'm going to mute you. And now, listen, before I go any further, does anybody have any other questions you need help with? So whether it's, your listings, whether it's working with sellers, whether it's working with buyers, does anybody else have a question you need help with? This is your chance to ask me. And here's how you do it. You're going to hit star, you're going to hit 4 on your keypad and then hit the star button. So hit 4 on your keypad and then the star button and give it a second for it to, there's a delayed reaction we've learned. It takes about probably 10 seconds or so. So who has a question? Anybody have a question? Okay. So it seems like there's nothing. Okay, so I'm going to finish the magazine, and then I'm going to give you guys some other tips, and then I'm going to let you go. On page 30 in the magazine, there is a great, this company, they had the signature guarantee. I love this. It made a list of 12 things that they guaranteed that they would do for a seller. If they did not do these 12 things at any point during the listing, the homeowner can asked to be taken, released from the listing agreement. They, of course, had 10 days to rectify the situation. But what I love about this signature guarantee, sales guarantee, whatever you want to call it, it's a great form to use when you've got a seller and they're apprehensive of listing with you. They're apprehensive because they got burnt before. They think they can do a better job. There's still a trust issue there. So anyway, it's a great visual. There's another great one on page 31 to use on a listing appointment. Well, there's a lot of great. Listen, gang, there's so much great stuff in this magazine, and I've said this before. Every month there is a plethora of great stuff in these magazines, and the truth is you're not going to be able to implement them all because I give you too much. That's my problem. So what you should do is you go through the magazine and just use one or two things. If you take one or two things from each magazine, you implement that in your business, it's going to make a big difference. So on page 31, it shows the value of these houses. So you got this one house, the value of $250. When you look at the visual, both houses look exactly the same. They look exactly the same. But the difference is underneath the ground, one house, they put a well in, and it cost them $9,000. This other house, their well that they put in, $17,000. So obviously the well of this house is much more than the other house. But the bottom of the visual says value is determined by what a purchaser gets out of a product, not what an owner has in the house. So this is great when a homeowner says, yeah, but we did all of these improvements. We spent all this money. We put this, you know, when we put our boiler in, we didn't put the $5,000 boiler. We put the $10,000 boiler in. You know, that's great, but that's not what buyers buy based on how the home feels to them. It's an emotional purchase. Page 32, there's a great mailing that you can do to FSBOs. It's a great checklist to do for before you go into an appointment. So if you get a listing appointment, to mail this and say, I look forward to seeing you. Here's a couple of things to consider about pricing. Now, let me just read four questions of these 12 questions. Questions to help you analyze your pricing strategy. Number two, it says, is the local market rising, falling, or staying even? And then the seller could check it. Is the local market rising, falling, or staying even? Why do I love this? Because if a homeowner is asked, is the local market rising, falling, or staying even? Of course, they're probably going to say it's rising, but really, as they're being honest with the question, they'd be like, I'm not 100% sure. Number three, is my opinion of value based on actual neighborhood sale prices? Yeah, maybe. I checked the Zillow once, but I just basically looked at some of the neighbors, what they're selling for. Number four, how many homes in the areas are competing against mine right now? I have no idea. Number five, how does mine compare? Well, I don't know the answer to the first one. So in other words, this questionnaire is actually helping a homeowner recognize that maybe their pricing strategy was not the best. Okay, let's see. Page 33, there's a great letter to send out. Number 34, 35 is great for investors. Page 36, this is one of the best brokers open house flyers I've ever seen. And it came to me from Kim Reynolds, one of our students. She emailed it to me, actually. And I got to say, it says, Brokers Open House, catered by Rick's Barbecue. And then they're giving barbecue beans and slaw and fries and bread and Rick's famous sauce. By the way, it's a three-bedroom, three-bath house on 8.5 acres. Sellers paid $6,000 in closing costs with a full-price offer. It's a horse lover's dream. It includes a private creek, renovated kitchen. Don't miss the free barbecue lunch, plus get enter to win a gift card for Tennessee Title by Tennessee. And then there's a bank there, Iberia Mortgage and Tennessee Title Services. Gang, there is so many great things about this flyer. You know, when we used to do, to my opinion, brokers open houses, Darryl, we don't get a lot of people to our brokers open houses in my market. If you're not getting a lot of brokers coming to your brokers open house, I'm going to assert it's because you're not doing the brokers open house the correct way. This flyer, this is September 19th. It has a time, RSVP. Let me tell you, when we did Brokers Open House, we always got a huge turnout. And part of the reason why we got a huge turnout is because here's how my agents and how my office looked at a Brokers Open House. Brokers Open House is like a grand opening to a business. If you were going to launch a business, I don't know if you would, but this is what you should do. You should let the local papers know about it. You should call a congressman to come do a ribbon cutting. You should put on social media. You should tweet about it. You should have photos. You should invite friends and family and have food and make it a whole big thing to make an announcement. You mail out to the neighbors. I'm opening up a new business. To me, a broker's open house is the opportunity for you to spotlight your listing, get brokers in, have it be on the forefront. One of the houses I sold when I was an agent, was a waterfront property. Now, waterfront properties in my day, in my market, because they were very high-end, this is an open bay, one of the most expensive. Most brokers would not come to a broker's open house for such a high-end property because majority of the agents didn't have that price range buyer. So why go? Well, I did a broker's open house just the way I'm saying it here, big food, big menu, sponsor, raffle, blah, blah, blah. We had a really good turnout, more than average. But here's the interesting thing. the average marketing time for waterfront property when I was an agent, it was because the interest rates were 14% back in those days. It would take about 9 months to sell a house on open bay in my market back in the day. I sold that house in 2 weeks. Why? One of the agents that came to that broker's open house, you could tell that they don't get out much. And I say that with affection. But she said, you know, I came because I saw the food you had. She came for the food. Okay. So she came for the food. She's sitting in the office now after the burgers open house. A couple of days go by. Buyer calls in. It's an up call, random call. She happens to be in the office because that's where she spent most of her time. And buyer was looking for open bay property. Well, the only one she knew of really was the one that she just came to, which is mine because she came for the food. And she sold that house. So here's my point. Broker's open house to me is crucially important, and it's got to be done the right way. It's got to have raffles, food. It's if you have any vendors you work with to get involved. And one of the things we did also is that, now this is back in the day before social media, before the internet and everything else, we would actually call the offices, local offices, the day of the broker's open house and send a personal invitation. I meant invite. So we would call and say, hi, I'm calling because I want to call to personally invite you. We have a broker's open house today. And we tell the secretary, she would tell the agents in the office. You know, you don't really need to do that. It's a classy touch to do that. It's more work to do that. With social media and everything else, I don't think it's necessary with emailing, everything else. But here's my point, gang, to sum this up. Page 36 has a great, it's one of the best flyers that I've ever seen that helps promote an open house. So when you create a flyer like this, you can also create a website, a web page. You can include it in your email. Very, very effective. Okay, so I don't see anybody who's taken themselves off mute to ask me a question. I'm going to wrap this up in just a minute. So this would be your last chance. If you need any coaching on something, to ask me a question. This is your chance, and this is for you. You know, this is your opportunity to say, hey, Darryl, I'm struggling with this thing. I've got a listing. I've got a sale. I've got a negotiation. My time management, my attitude, whatever it is you need, it would be a shame for you to pass that up. Now, how you can take yourself off. Yes.
It's Marty.
Marty, how you doing? Hang on one second. You stay right there, Marty.
Sure.
If anybody has a question you need, something you want to ask me, you hit 4 and then hit the star on your keypad. I've got Marty in the queue, but I want to see if there's anybody else, Marty, that has a question. Okay. So it's not happening. So go ahead, Marty. What's up?
Well, here's what I find, Darryl, is that
Marty, hang on one second. Somebody
sure.
came in. Who is that? Who just called in or unmuted? Who is
Hi, Darryl.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
What? Yeah, I can hear
Hi,
you fine. What's your name?
Yes, hi. It's Tony Zimmer. I'm in Florida. And the question is, I see you're going to be at our national convention in Orlando. Could you give us kind of a little preview of what you plan on talking about?
No, if I did, then you wouldn't come.
No, actually, I was thinking it might encourage me to come.
I see. Okay. So, you know, if you've attended my seminars before, it's probably I'm going to be doing some research just that particular title, which is the 5 best sources of leads to get listing. I think that's the title. Is that right, Tony?
Yes.
And what I'm going to be doing is doing a little extra research just before that, okay? So I want to give the most up-to-date, most current information. But I'll give you one right now that you've heard me talk about. So it's not going to be new for you if you come to my stuff, Tony. And that is FSBOs and expireds. To me, now I will tell you something. Expireds, in my opinion, are even better than FSBOs. I always talk about FSBOs, but the reason why expireds are better is because they already serve the value in realtor. They already, and they're committed to selling. The challenge that you have with expireds is most agents think that they're probably ticked off at agents, and that's not true. They may be discouraged. They may be less in the space of what they're committed to accomplishing, but they're mostly frustrated. So, you know, the focus on an expired is helping deal with their frustration. Acknowledging their choice to hire a realtor was a good one. Just like if you need an attorney, you know, anybody that's experienced attorneys, whether it's in divorce, whether it's in litigation, whatever, you know, you've got your good, better, and best. And if you hire a bad attorney, you had a bad experience, that doesn't mean you discount attorneys. You just didn't pick the right one for that scenario. And because you picked the wrong one, you probably learned a lot about what to look for in an attorney that you do need. So that bad experience actually helps you get stronger at choosing one that's going to help you. And the same thing is true with realtors. You know, you don't discount realtors because you had one that didn't get the job done. But when you go through the process, you probably learn a lot more about what works and what doesn't work. And so I'd like to, you know, help you in getting your property sold. I'd like you to look at me and interview me and see how I can help you get to your next level in your life. So anyway, to answer your question, Tony, I'm going to be probably updating and giving some new material that I haven't taught before, and I still need to work on that, okay?
Okay, thank you, Daryl.
I hope I gave you something of value right now, though.
Yes, absolutely. You always do.
Hey,
right.
Hey Daryl.
You're sweet. All right, Marty, you're up, and then we got 4 minutes, so let's rock and roll.
So for those that are on the line that have never experienced Daryl live, it's really something that you should at least do at least one time in your life, and you'll be hooked, and then you'll just always look forward to see him. And because it really is a wonderful experience. It's filled with tons of information, but at the same time, Daryl makes a lot of fun. Makes it very much fun. He'll entertain you. He really should be a stand-up comic, but and at the same time, you'll come away feeling so much better about yourself and about your business and everything else. And the only thing I just recommend you do is that during Daryl's seminars that you have a pad and a pen and you write down five things that you think are going to make a difference in your career. And of those five things, you know, hone them, make them perfect, and then utilize them. Because as Daryl will tell you, there's 1,000 different ways to supposedly, you know, skin a cat, so to speak, or to do real estate. You just need to find five really great things and take it from there, perfect them, and that's really the definition of champions. They find something that works, they stick to it, they still have the ability to change or to hone it, make it better or to cut back, whatever it is, but they find the concept, and that's what you need for your career. Five really good concepts, whether it's prospecting, whether it's working with buyers or working with sellers, but get it, hone it, and use it. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for that. I'll send you the check for that testimonial.
Anything for you, my dear friend?
All right, gang, we've come to the end of our call. So a couple of things before you hang up. Number one is we're going to post this on the website. You know, the best thing to do, gang, because a lot of you are shy today. This is a quiet call today, which is not normal. So, you know, this is your opportunity to ask me a question for you to get coaching. So I know we had a new system this time that I could have something to do with it. But send me an email, and I'll make sure to cover it on the next call, Daryl@DarylSpeaks.com. That's my personal email address. And how you spell Daryl is D-A-R-R-Y-L, so that's 2 R's, Y-L, @DarylSpeaks.com, all one word. Don't forget to go to the Power Program login. Make sure, listen, I know how busy you are, so do yourself a favor. Have this call go another 15 minutes if you can. And what I mean by that is in the next 15 minutes, go to the website, log in, print out the magazine. You can control the page, like maybe just print out after the Marty interview and the transcription. Look at the flyers that I talked about and just get a sense and just put one on the side. Say, you know what, I think I want to look at that one. And use that one. Also great software, Evernote. You know, when you use Evernote with your browser, you can save files in Evernote, and that might help you too. Again, there's so much that you can use this month in this magazine. Okay, gang, last thing I'm going to say is don't forget we don't just list and sell real estate. Now, when people are buying, they're actually going to their next level. This is a life-changing experience for people on either end of the transaction. And what you do is you're licensed by your state to help change people's lives. You help people get to their next level. So, you know, honor them by respecting them and mastering your profession. Serve people, don't sell them. Coach people, don't close them. And, you know, I wish you guys all the best. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. And I look forward to talking to you on the next call. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.